Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. This is week 9, day 2 of the study of 1 Kings. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 1 Kings 19, 11 through 21. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. On Tuesdays, I want to pray for the Syrian refugees, especially those in the Middle East. Lord, we ask that you would protect those refugees fleeing the chaos and the madness in Syria. Lord, they need to know you. They need to hear the gospel, God. And we thank you that you are opening opportunities, especially in the nation of Jordan, for them to hear the truth about Jesus. Lord, we ask you would raise up laborers, raise up men and women that would go into Jordan and share the gospel with these refugees from Syria, that they would come to know you. And Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. We'll be reading today from the NIV, starting in 1 Kings 19, verse 11. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now remember, we ended yesterday where Elijah had fled away from Jezebel because she vowed to kill him. And even after all of the amazingly supernatural things that Elijah had seen the Lord do, he was afraid of Jezebel, and so he ran. And so he's come all the way down to the very south of Israel, the very south of the nation of Judah now, actually, and even went into the desert. And an angel came and woke him up and said, "Eat." And he goes on this 40-day journey, kind of backtracking through the original or somewhere near the original 40-year journey of the Israelites. And he ends up at the mountain of the Lord. It's called Mount Horeb here. And many scholars believe this is Mount Sinai, the same place where Moses received the Ten Commandments. And so now Elijah is on this mountain and the Lord has asked him, "What are you doing here?" And so here we have Elijah saying, "Hey, you know, I'm like the only person that loves you left in all of Israel, and I'd just rather die because I'm not brave enough to face Jezebel." And so as soon as Elijah has given the Lord this sad story, that's where we picked up our story here. Let's continue on verse 11. "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he put on his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave." Now, I want to say something here that to deal with a very common, I don't want to say misconception, but maybe a misappropriation of how people take this. Most people believe that God only speaks or mostly speaks in a still, small voice. And I want to say that there's a lot of truth to that. It's very difficult to hear the voice of the Lord in our lives when we're on the go and busy and there's so many things crowding our mind. It's difficult. I mean, it's not difficult for the Lord to get through to us. It's that we don't make space for him to get through this. The Lord can get through to us any way he wants. And just because in this one case, the Lord wasn't in this violent wind or this fire or this earthquake, doesn't mean that the Lord cannot speak and move and act through those things. We've already seen that a fireball was sent from heaven to consume the offering that Elijah had made on the altar just, you know, weeks before. So the Lord can move and use those things. So it doesn't mean that the Lord never does those things and he only speaks through a still small voice. It doesn't even mean that he mostly speaks through a still small voice, because that's how he spoke to Elijah here. What Elijah is understanding is there's all of this commotion and all of this activity that you would think after hearing the voice of the Lord say, "Hey, I'm going to pass by," and all of these things happen. Elijah is seeking the Lord and sensing the presence of God. And he's understanding, no, he's not in this. He's not in this. He's not in this. But, oh, I feel his presence in this still, small wind, this little voice. What's important about that is, or for us to understand, is that we need not to come up with a formula of how God speaks, that, okay, well, he spoke to Elijah here in a still small voice. That's how he's always going to speak to me. That's how he always speaks. That's not the point here. The point is that we need to be sensing. We need to be asking the Holy Spirit, are you speaking to me? Are you moving in circumstances? And these are the circumstances that the Lord is applying to Elijah. Anytime we are going through life and we've got all these circumstances coming on us, you know, negative, positive, good, loud, soft, we have to be constantly asking the Holy Spirit, are you saying anything? What do you feel about the situation, about me? We need to offer up those situations and those opportunities to the Lord to speak to us through, because he speaks in situations all the time. And so it's not that the Lord only speaks through still small voices. Now, he does do that a lot. He really does. And it's not because he can't speak to us unless, you know, there's this still small voice, unless we're quiet. It's that we don't make room for him to speak to us until we quiet ourselves. And so here, Elijah is the one who's quieted himself, and he's waiting, and he's listening to all of these things that are going on, the earthquake. He's listening. Lord, are you in this? And he knows that the Lord's not. This violent wind, such a strong wind that it's shattering rocks on the mountainside. I've never seen a wind so violent that it could shatter rocks on a mountainside. But Elijah is quietly asking, Lord, are you in this? And it's that still small voice, that little bitty wind, that breath that comes through, that the Lord speaks to him, says, I'm in this. And so when Elijah hears that, he goes out to hear the voice of the Lord. Let's continue on. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 14, he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with a sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Actually, before I read on, I want to pause right there. Elijah reiterates the exact same thing he said at the beginning of all of this. And this is important. This is powerful. Because the Lord has already given Elijah something of a rebuke. All of this that's going on is something of a mild rebuke to Elijah. That, listen, I am the Lord God over all of the earth, the God of creation, and you're worried about a little thing that's going on. Elijah is so consumed with this question. He's so consumed with the circumstances in his life. And even though he could quiet his spirit long enough to hear that the Lord was moving in this still small voice, the question is still swirling in his mind. And he repeats it word for word, what he told the Lord at the beginning of this whole encounter on the mountain. He repeats it word for word. That's an important detail right there, because Elijah, we are learning here that Elijah is consumed by this. This has wrecked him. This has derailed him, this question. And so often in life, the Lord is trying to move us on. I know I've experienced this, and so many of you listening have experienced this. The Lord is trying to move us on from something. And we're so bound up by wanting to understand why something went wrong in the past. What happened, Lord? Why? It's like it doesn't make any sense, Lord. I'm the only one left. I just don't even want to be here anymore, Lord, unless you answer me. And so Elijah he's had this angelic encounter. He's seen fire come down from heaven. He's now heard the voice of God twice, seen the Lord. I mean, it was the Lord who was making the wind blow and the earthquake and the fire. The Lord was doing that, but he wasn't speaking to Elijah in that. After Elijah's seen all of that, he still persists with the question. And I think one of the beautiful things here is, unfortunately, it's cost Elijah quite a bit of emotional distress, but he has not let go of his love for the Lord, his faith in the Lord, but he's also not letting go of this question. And because he didn't let go of the question, the Lord's going to answer him. It's not going to be quite the answer he was expecting. I think Elijah was expecting the Lord to affirm him in his pity party. And how often do we do the same thing? We want to be affirmed in our pity party that, yeah, it is as bad as you think. And man, isn't it rough to be you? I'm so sorry. That never gets us anywhere, but it's what we want. It's this craving that we have to have someone affirm us in the negative place we are in the situations. It doesn't help us. It makes us feel no better. It may not make us feel worse. Sometimes it might, but it doesn't make us feel any better. And if it does, it may be just mildly for a moment, but it's what we crave for one reason or another. And Elijah is in that place right here. And the Lord is going to answer him out of his grace. He's being gracious with Elijah here, and he's going to answer him. Verse 15, the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him." This is a very interesting passage. I mean, the last part there, that the Lord has reserved 7,000 out of the whole nation of Israel. This is a pitifully sad number of people that are still worshiping the Lord, but there are 7,000. There is this remnant that the Lord has maintained in the midst of the most evil kingdom or kingship of the nation of Israel. I mean, everything is bad. Everything is bleak. They really needed someone to come along and make Israel great again in this moment, because it's really bad on every front. The Lord still has 7,000 people. And the Lord gives Elijah this answer and rebuke. It's almost like the answer to Job. You know, who are you to question me? But yet the Lord is gracious to us. He tells us we can come boldly before his throne. So even when we have a petulant temper tantrum question, we can't get off our mind and we bring it before the Lord and we won't take no for an answer. He gives us that privilege. He gives us the dignity to do that. Because when we love him, when we've been redeemed by his blood, he gives us the privilege and the dignity come before his throne with boldness, though we do not deserve the opportunity. Elijah was a man just like you and I. Yeah, he did all these wonderful, amazing exploits, but he did not deserve the opportunity to ask this of the Lord any more than you and I do. And the Lord answered him out of his grace. So sometimes we need to move on from the questions that hold us down and weigh us down emotionally. We need to move on from them and move into the thing that the Lord is doing. It doesn't mean we have to stop asking him. It doesn't mean we have to stop pressing him for an answer. We always have the dignity. He's under no obligation to answer us. But many times when we keep coming back to the Lord, like it says in Luke 18, Jesus tells a parable about the woman that keeps coming to this wicked judge and won't give him rest until he gets justice for. Jesus says, how much more is your Father in heaven better than this unjust judge? Even if I bear long with you, even if I remain silent before you for an extended period of time, how much more will my heart cry out to give you justice and give you an answer? Yet he says, when the Son of Man comes, will we find faith? Meaning, will you keep asking? We have to be able to move on. We have to be able to continue doing the things that the Lord asks us to do. But we don't have to let go of the questions. Unfortunately for Elijah, he was unable emotionally to some extent to move on from this. He was given three things to do. The Lord told him, go back the way you came and go to Damascus and anoint Hazael king over Aram. Right now, Ben-Hadad is the king over Aram. He says, go anoint Hazael. And then anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, to be king over Israel in Ahab's place. And then anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, to succeed you as prophet. And the point was that Hazael was going to attack Israel and destroy Israel and root out all of the wickedness. And whoever Hazael didn't get, Jehu was going to come along and he was going to finish off. And anyone that Jehu didn't get, Elisha was going to come along and kill. And it almost seems like the Lord is saying, okay, listen, Elijah, I know that you feel too weak to confront Jezebel and all these people, so I'm not going to ask you to do it, but I'm going to ask you to go anoint the people who will. And Elisha can't even bring himself to do that. Instead of going to Damascus like the Lord told him to, he does this, verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he sent out to follow Elijah and became his servant. So right here, Elijah was told very clearly, go anoint Hazael, go anoint Jehu, and then go find Elisha. He only did one of those three things. And Elijah is not going to do two of those three things. He's not going to anoint Hazael, and he's not going to anoint Jehu. It's going to be Elisha who is going to do that, and he's going to do it years and maybe a couple decades later from right now. There's going to be quite a bit of time that's going to elapse before this command of the Lord is followed. And there's a lot of water that's going to go under the bridge in that amount of time. And we'll talk about that as we go along. But I've run long. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the 10-Week Bible Podcast. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I'll be back tomorrow with another day of the 10-Week Bible Podcast.